I think it was in Dear Abby or Ann Landers not too long ago. Don't ask me while I was reading it. I was bored. But this story really kind of stuck with me. It was a story about a young man from a very, very, very wealthy family. And it was a custom at this particular group of people that when their children graduated, they purchased them a new car. And so this son and his father had been out for some time shopping for this new car. Well, graduation day came. And as the day came, the son came home from the graduation. And his father handed him a Bible with a red bow tied around the Bible. His son took one look at it, tossed it aside, stormed out of the house, never to see his father again. You see, he thought that it was a worthless gift. Well, he got a call again one day. He discovered that his father had died. He came back to the home, and there was the Bible that his father had given him so many years ago that he just tossed aside. And as he looked through this Bible, along about the middle, he found an envelope. And inside this envelope was a cashier's check for the exact amount of the new car that they had been looking at together. You know, as I thought about that, I couldn't help but wonder how many people have done the exact same thing to God. Literally tossed aside a wonderful, incredible promise that God has given them. Because they didn't understand it. Maybe they didn't believe it was possible. You know, our world today, we're taught it's too good to be true. It probably is. How often do we hear that? You know, all of us, I'm sure, sitting in this room have been taken in by some kind of an empty promise like that, haven't we? Every one of us. Been taken for a ride, taken for a loop. So, we're kind of leery then. We're a little bit leery when somebody says that we're going to get something for nothing. Because the world just does not work that way, does it? But you know what? God does. God works that way. God has never made a promise that was too good to be true. Ever. You know, we watch TV. We see all the advertisements, don't we? If you buy this, oh, you're going to get rich. Or if you'll buy this, oh, you'll be beautiful. It'll take 30 years off your life. The world is full of empty promises. But you see, God's different. Instead of promises full of emptiness, He gave us emptinesses that are full of promise. I want to look at three of those. Three of those empty promises this morning that God gave us on that first Easter morning. Each promise is marked by something that's empty. An empty cross, an empty tomb, and empty burial cloths. And the fact that each and every one of these are empty tell us that God's promises are true. Because they couldn't hold Jesus. The cross couldn't hold him. The tomb couldn't hold him. The burial cloths couldn't hold him. So let's begin with the empty cross. Because that cross was empty, we have the promise of the forgiveness of sin. And I want to take you back this morning. Back to that first Easter morning, so long ago. It's early in the morning. It's before dawn. The women are kind of sullen, sad. They're making their way to Jesus' tomb. They've been walking for a while, not talking much because of the sadness in their hearts. Because you see, they're going to anoint Jesus' body. Because yesterday was the Sabbath day, and they could do no work. So they're traveling to anoint his body. As they come on a small rise in the hill, they see it. Off in the distance, maybe with just a glimmer of the sunrise coming behind it, the place that the locals call the Skulls, they see three crosses off in the distance. The one in the middle, that's the one they're looking at. Because you see, that's where Jesus hung just 3 days before. They look at the top. They see the blood. They see the blood from where this crown of thorns was jammed down on his head. They look at the cross member. They see the blood stains where his hands had been nailed to it. They look at the midsection. They see all the blood from where the Romans had beat his back so badly. The main beam was just soaked with blood. They also saw the blood where the Romans pierced his side with a spear. They found him dead. Don't let anyone tell you that he wasn't dead. The Romans knew it. The soldiers knew it. And the Jews knew it as well. See, Jesus really did die. And I want you to see that cross in your mind this morning. It's the place where he did die. But you see, this morning, that cross is empty. He's no longer there. That cross is empty of Jesus' body, but full of God's grace. Could you see that promise, that empty cross? It's because of that that you and I can stand here today forgiven. Because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on that cross. Sin. Boy, that's not a popular word today, is it? That's not politically correct. But you know what? The person sitting beside you, the person sitting behind you, the person sitting in front of you, and you yourself, guess what? You've all sinned. Every single person who has ever lived but one has sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Everyone has failed but Jesus. So here's the problem we have. According to God's law, what's the wage of sin? Death. It says in the book of Ezekiel, "The soul that sins shall surely die." Because we have sinned, we deserve God's full punishment. We deserve eternal death. But when we look at that empty cross, we can see the forgiveness that we can have. On that cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God's word tells us again, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It was on that cross that Jesus Christ offered His perfect, sinless life for us. No one else. Not Moses, not Abraham, not Isaac, not David, not Muhammad, not Buddha, no one has ever lived a sinless life except for Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us there's no other name under the heaven by which we can be saved. When Jesus was on the cross and He cried out, "It is finished," our debt was paid. On that empty cross, because it was right there that Jesus' blood was spilled for our salvation. you know, before the crucifixion day, if it never took place, God could look in the book of life by each of our names. You know what the words would have been beside them? Guilty. But because of that resurrection, because of that sacrifice, if we accept Christ, if we live according to His will, God will write over those words guilty with the blood of Jesus, forgiven. We can stand forgiven because of that empty cross. Now let's go back to our ladies. After they paused to view this cross, they walked on. Maybe they were wondering, who's going to move that stone for us? So I'm sure it was huge and weighed probably several tons. Not only that, the Romans had sealed it. Who's going to move that for us? And suddenly, as they walk along, they feel the earth move under their feet. They look at each other. They're frightened. Not sure what to do. So they continue on. As they walk up to the burial site, they see something even more remarkable. The soldiers, they're laying there unconscious. And this huge stone has been rolled away. And there's an angel glowing like lightning sitting where Jesus had been laid. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5, and let's listen to the words of this angel. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying." Jesus has risen. He's alive. The tomb was empty. What a tremendous promise that holds for us. Because you see, the fact that tomb was empty is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And the promise to each and every one of us that we too will be raised. And that resurrection of life, if we will accept God's Son and live according to His will. Because you see, to those that know Jesus, death has lost its sting. It's no longer something to be feared at all. What fear is there when we have the promise that one day we can live forever and rule with Christ in the kingdom of God? Death has lost its sting. Give you an example. There were two brothers traveling down the road. Warm summer day. A bee flies in the window. Well, the younger brother is scared to death because he's deathly allergic to bee stings. The older brother sees how terrified he is. He reaches over and he grabs that bee with his hand. He holds it there. And he lets it go. Younger brother starts getting afraid again. The older brother reaches his hand over. Shows his younger brother. He said, "See? I took the sting for you. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to fear now." In that empty tomb, the way that Jesus tells us, relax. I took the sting for you. There's no need to fear. Death can't hold me, and it won't hold you. Why was the tomb empty? Because Jesus was alive. The angel said, "He is risen." And that's the promise to us, that we can live even though we die. That's the second promise of Easter. But the story doesn't end there. After the angels had spoken to the women, they immediately ran back and told the apostles. And here comes John and Peter. They ran back themselves to see. When they got there, John stops outside of the tomb. But Peter, he runs right by and runs in. And what does he see? He sees the burial cloth lying on the ground of the tomb. They were empty. And that could only mean one thing. That Jesus was alive. Because you see, if they would have stolen his body, they wouldn't have worried about unwinding this burial cloth and leaving it there. They would have taken all of it. It wouldn't be long before Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene after that. Then to all the apostles. And eventually to over 500 people. He talked to them. He ate with them. He sat down with them. Because you see, once again, they were able to fellowship with their Lord, just like they had done before. That's the promise of the empty burial cloth. That Jesus is alive and that He will fellowship with us. You know, Jesus isn't some nebulous force out there in the universe. He's alive today. That same Jesus that we read about, He's alive today. And He is sitting at this very moment at the right hand of His Father, waiting, going to the Father on our behalf. See, He took our penalty. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected. At first Easter, the women, as they went to that grave, they had no idea what to expect. They weren't aware yet of the promises of that day. Off in the distance stood an empty cross, promise of the forgiveness of sin. They stood and saw the empty tomb, the promise of eternal life. They went inside and saw the empty burial cloth. Promise that Jesus Christ wants to be a part of our lives. Our living Savior. And there's another promise in those burial cloths. There's something significant. Something that many, many people don't realize. Turn with me over now to John chapter 20 and verse 6. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. You see, this linen cloth that was covering Jesus' face wasn't just tossed aside like the rest of the burial cloth. It was rolled up neatly and put aside. What's the significance of that? What is the significance of that? Well, to understand, we have to go back to Jewish tradition. In order to understand the significance, we have to look back to the tradition of that day. It has to do with the master and the servant. Every Jewish boy knew this tradition, and they still do today. When a servant would set the dinner table for the master, he made sure everything was just exactly like the master wanted. The table was perfect, and the servant would wait just out of sight until the master was done. Now, when the master was done eating, he would rise from the table, he would wipe his hands and fingers with the cloth, throw it on the table. In those days, the wadded napkin meant, I'm done. But if the master neatly folded his napkin and laid it neatly aside, it meant, I'm not finished yet. I'm coming back. You know, I once heard a pastor say that Jesus came to do 3 days' work. That's nonsense. You see, that napkin that covered his face was neatly folded and placed aside. That's Jesus telling us, I'm not finished yet. I am coming back. That's what the resurrection is about. That Jesus himself raised from the dead will return one day to this earth and set up his Father's kingdom. One that will never be shaken. Praise God. Praise God for these empty promises, because He lives.